In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, if you look at your bulletin cover, you have the picture of a boat and a bunch of fish and Simon Peter right at the back. And when you look at pictures in Christian art, one of the questions that you can ask is, where am I in that picture? And the answer is, you're the fish. Jesus sent Peter out to catch men, and he did it with James and John as well, and he does it through the apostolic word, he does it through the Bible, he does it through preachers and the Lord's word today, and he casts his net, and he is pulling you into himself. That is the biggest image that you need to get from church today, that of Jesus casting his net and bringing you into his boat. Drawing you closer to himself, into fellowship with him, declaring that he is at peace with you. He draws you to himself. God is at one and at peace with you. There is a force that is happening in the Christian life. And it is one that is being drawn closer and closer to God. So you get scripture passages like this. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. A powerful force, dear saints. Or, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, and I want you to notch that word in your brain, called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so here you are, dear Christians, being drawn closer to your Jesus. And through his word, he changes your will. He brings you closer to himself so that you actually begin to desire to be closer to him as well. You draw yourself closer to him and you allow him to be drawn closer. But it doesn't take very long for the Christian to realize that the force of the gospel, the force of Jesus, that drawing, beautiful, loving force, is not the only force that is happening. There are forces all throughout you, both inside and outside of you. And so we know that Jesus has a powerful force, but we also know that sin is an amazingly powerful force that draws you away from your Jesus. And with it, it brings death and guilt and despair. 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. You see, the gospel has power, Christ has power, and sin has power. Or we know that Satan and the world have power. We know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, 1 John 5. So consider these forces. The power of the preaching, the power of the gospel, and the power of sin, and the power of the devil one. As you're listening once again to the story that happens with Jesus and Peter. On one occasion, this is your gospel reading, Luke chapter 5. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God. You see right there, you got a force. Jesus drawing his hearers to himself. And they're being caught. And they want to hear from him. They want to learn from him. They want to be convinced that they don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he catches them, and he cleanses them, and he brings them closer to himself. But the story goes on. After Jesus teaches from the boat, he invites Peter to put out to the deep. And Peter responds in this way. Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Here you begin to see a different force happening. Not just the force of the gospel, but the beginning of doubt and the beginning of despair. Peter begins to think that he knows better than Jesus. After all, the best time to fish is at night and in the shallow. And Jesus says, it's morning, go out to the deep. Peter begins to think he knows better than Jesus. And Peter is in somewhat of a despair. Master, we toiled all night long and took nothing. He's in despair of the fruitless labor, the seemingly fruitless labor. He's in despair of the life that is just going and not seeing any fruit. And so I ask you, how does that affect you? You have jobs, you have families, you have conflicts, and it just seems like it goes on and on and on, and there is no fruit that comes from it. You pray for your friends and family who are outside of the church, and it doesn't seem that there is much fruit. You preach to them the Lord's word, and it doesn't seem as if there is no fruit. You keep forgiving, you keep loving, you keep showing mercy to those who keep messing up, and it doesn't seem as if there is any fruit. And for those who go to work, it is so tedious sometimes. You keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And for those who have young children, it is so tedious because you keep doing the same thing over and over again. And for those who are young, for those who are old, your whole life is doing the same thing over and over again. And the temptation is to think that there is no fruit, that there is no point. That why do I keep doing this stuff all over again? Master, we toiled all night long and we took nothing. And you begin to see that there is a different force inside of you other than the force of the gospel. It is the force of despair. It is the force to think that no one is acting on you other than you. And you desire to give up. In the Christian, there is two forces happening outside of you, other than the gospel. And there is the force of pride. And pride is always going to say something like this. There's something better. And then there's the force of despair. And despair is always going to sound something like this. I don't deserve it. Peter here is affected by despair. I don't deserve it. And that's after the fish is caught. He says, Lord, I'm a sinful man, depart from me. That's despair right there. But I want us to consider what pride looks like first. There's something better. After the great miraculous fish, Jesus calls Peter and James and John to leave everything and to come and to follow him. Now, this is a unique call. It is an apostolic call. You don't have this call. Leave everything and follow Jesus. More than likely, in fact, your call sounds something like this. Stay and follow me. And the temptation comes to say, there's something better. So you right there, stay and follow Jesus. You right there who have spouses, who have family, who have friends, who have jobs, who have a particular place in life, stay there and follow Jesus in faith and in hope and in love. And the temptation is to think there is something better. So Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's so tempting to look around and to see those people and to think, but they are a hot mess. They really screw up sometimes. And they don't get any better. And there's lots of problems with them. So if I'm supposed to love someone as myself, there has to be someone better than the person that I see every day. I know them. There has to be something better than the calling in which I have. And so it's tempting to hear, come follow me, as some great achievement that the apostles have that we should have rather than stay. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those people that you see every day, that you go to work with, that live in your family, stay and love them, forgive them, have mercy on them, and deal with their hot mess. Their hot mess is the foundation of your prayer life, the foundation of your forgiveness, the foundation of showing mercy even as your Father is merciful. And then there's the opposite coin of pride that says there's something better. And that is to think that there's something better than our Lord's word. And so Satan is always attempting to convince us that there is a life of glory and of honor and of beauty and of pleasure outside of our Lord's word. That sin has a strong allurement. And you looked at that picture at the beginning and you asked the question, where am I? And the answer was, I'm the fish. And fish are comfortable in the water. Fish are comfortable in the deep. And all throughout Scripture, the deep is the place of chaos and of selfishness and of lack of control. It is the place of the devil. And fish are comfortable there, and so are you too often. And so am I. You and I are too often comfortable with our lust, with giving in to our anger, with judging and condemning our neighbor because we're, after all, doing it to our best friend and they'll keep their mouth shut anyway. We're so often comfortable with our selfishness, with our greed. And if there is a force, if there is a force of the gospel that is pulling us closer to Jesus, and if there is a force that will not give up, that is constantly trying to pull us back into the deep, it is so frustrating to keep pushing back against it and to just say, fine, I'll give in, I'll do it, I'll do the sin, I will give in to the temptation, fine, I'll agree with the world if they will just leave me alone, they're right, I'll just say, you're right about this, you're right about sex, you're right about marriage, you're right about money, I will just give in, just leave me alone, quit pulling on me, fine, I'll give in. Then we get the pull of despair. And this is what Peter is experiencing. That a miraculous catch is made. And instead of just saying, God be praised, thank you for the gifts, he is condemned and he pushes Jesus away. Remember, pride says something is better. And despair always says, I don't deserve it. Peter is convinced he doesn't deserve Jesus. And the devil loves to use it because there is truth to it. Despair says, I don't deserve this job. I don't deserve this family. I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve to be content. I don't deserve the things that God has given to me. And when things are going really well, despair is always lurking in the background because it wants you to put your trust in those things. And so when those things collapse, it gives in and it wants you to say, see, I told you you didn't deserve it. Things are going bad for you. You're sick now. You're suffering now. There's death all around you. There's family conflict. You've given into your sin. The law can accuse you. And the devil comes with his attacks. I told you, you didn't deserve forgiveness. I told you, you didn't deserve your family. I told you, you didn't deserve to be loved. But the Christian has something wonderful. In answer to both pride and despair, you have your baptism. Pride and despair start from within, but God's call is always from the outside. It is the answer to every pull that doesn't come from the gospel. It is an answer from the outside. It is a calling. It is when Jesus says, follow me, the wonderful truth that when he says, follow me, he binds himself to you. That when he says, follow me, to Peter and to James and John, he is all of a sudden responsible for them to provide them with everything that they need for their body and in their life. And you have that in your baptism. You have that in your call. You have that when you confess the creed, that you believe that God has bound himself to you to continue to preserve everything that you need of this body and of life, to continue to redeem you from all of your sin, and to continue to make you holy. And so here's the image. Imagine that you are a child that has no mother, no father, no one to love them. And then someone comes up to you, a father and a mother, and they look right at you. And they say, we are your parents. Do you see that? They bind themselves to that child. They say, I will love you. I will provide for you of all that you need of body and of soul. I bind myself to you as one who will love you and be a parent. So your Lord says, I am the Lord your God. And that is how he has bound himself to you. He has said, you are mine. You are baptized. You are a child of God. And there he binds himself to you to continue to forgive you and make you holy and to promise you that he will preserve you for all that you need into this life. It is a call from the outside. And it is so sure and it is so certain. And then he places you into a community. He calls you into a family. He calls you with a bunch of people who have a hot mess. And to prevent you from pride, he gives you these people to know that you can't change a whole lot in their lives, but that you are to love them and to forgive them and to have mercy on them and to continue to pray for them. You aren't as awesome as you think you are, so he calls you out of your pride. And then he gives you a group of people to love and to serve and to be loved and be served so that when you are a hot mess, they have bound themselves to you and they love you and they forgive you. Our Jesus calls us out of our pride as one who has left everything and placed himself under humility of the Father, even giving up his life as a ransom for many. Though he was the Son, he learned obedience through suffering. And he calls us out of despair by declaring that we should pray, not only that the Son depart from us, because the Son has come to draw us to himself. The Son of Man draws us to himself. So there is a force that is happening all throughout your life. Keep pushing back the darkness. It's going to continue to pull, but the church continues to call you. The church continues to declare to you that you're baptized, that you're called, and that you belong to the light. And the light overcomes the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.